Our reading this morning is from Matthew. And it's Matthew chapter 6, let's get the right chapter, and verses 5 to 13. So if you want to follow along, it's Matthew 6, 5 to 13. And this is Jesus speaking to his followers. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. So this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So, we are starting a new series this morning on what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And it's a prayer that will obviously be very familiar to many of us. It's a prayer that's very dear to Christians throughout the world. And today we're concentrating on verses 9 and 10 from Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I discovered that around the same time that Jesus was teaching this prayer, there was another prayer circulating within the Jewish community. And this prayer is known as the Kaddish. And it's a great prayer of praise to God and a prayer that God's kingdom will be established on earth. And Pete Grieg, in his book How to Pray, compares the opening lines of the Kaddish with Jesus' prayer. And the Kaddish says this. Okay, there we go. It says, magnified and hallowed be his great name in the world which he created according to his will, and may he establish his kingdom during your life. And then the prayer that Jesus taught says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think if you look at both these prayers, you can see the similarities, because both pray for God's name to be hallowed, which means to be held holy or to be revered. Both speak of God's will, and both pray for God's kingdom to come in the world. And yet, I wonder if you can spot the difference. Because in place of his great name, Jesus says simply, our Father. Our Father. The Aramaic word, many of you will know, is Abba. And that means dear father, dad. The word that a child would use in a family. And I think we're so familiar with the Our Father prayer that we miss the impact that this would have had on Jesus's hearers, because this way of addressing God was revolutionary. God is holy and mighty. So how could anyone possibly come to the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, the Almighty God who thundered from Mount Sinai, who gave his holy law? How could anyone come to him and call him Dad? And Phil Moore, in his commentary, straight to the heart of Matthew, says, the Jews were happy with the concept that Yahweh was the father of their nation, Israel. The Jewish leaders were furious with the suggestion that the Lord God Almighty could ever become our Abba. It just seemed too disrespectful. And yet, if we look at the Gospels, we can see that Father was a favourite way for Jesus to refer to God. Phil Moore also says this: the whole of the Old Testament refers only 14 times to God as Israel's Father. Jesus refers to God as Father 17 times in the Sermon on the Mount alone. I did a bit of a count. I actually only found 16 references to God as Father in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, but it's quite possible that I did actually miss one. But the point is that in the Old Testament, there are some references to God as Father, but they are only a few, and they talk to God about God as the Father of the nation. And in the Gospels, there are multiple references to God as our Father. And John's Gospel is a prime example. If you're familiar with John, you'll know that Jesus throughout refers to himself as the Son and to God as the Father. I wonder, what was it like for Jesus to know God as Father? Or what was Jesus's view of a father? If you've got a good memory, you'll remember it's actually not that long since Christmas. And we heard in the Christmas story about Jesus's earthly father, or what we might call his foster father, Joseph, wasn't actually Jesus's genetic dad, but he was his earthly father. And actually, Joseph is a great role model as a father, because we know from the Christmas story he was honourable. He didn't want to expose Mary to disgrace. He lived in obedience to God. And later we find out in the Gospels that he was a carpenter, so presumably he worked hard and provided for his family. And Jesus, as a little boy, would have called Joseph Abba, Dad. But alongside this experience of having an earthly father, Jesus had a heavenly father. What was that like? Well, I think there's a fascinating glimpse in the book of the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. And Isaiah has got lots of prophecies that look forward to the coming of the Messiah. And one of the prophecies is in chapter 50, verse 4, and it says this: the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. I find this very intriguing, because it seems like a little glimpse into what it might have been like for Jesus to hear the whispers in his spirit every day as God the Father spoke and he learned to listen. And we know that even as a boy, Jesus was very aware of the presence of his heavenly Father. He went missing when he was 12 years old. And when his parents tracked him down in the temple, he said to them, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? So Jesus was aware that he had this heavenly Father. And when he was an adult, you'll know that as he was teaching and preaching, he would also take time out to go and pray, to be with the Father, to listen to the Father's will for his work. Jesus knew the Father's heart, and that's why we get the beautiful parables like the parable of the prodigal son, where the father lets the child go, but then runs to meet him when the son returns home. So I think actually the start of the Lord's Prayer is quite amazing, because we are invited into that relationship that Jesus had with the Father. He invites us, and we are sinful, we're inadequate, we're stumbling, and yet he invites us to address God as Abba, our Father, Dad, our Dad in heaven. And I wonder this morning if you are experiencing that freedom to address God as Father. Do you know the Father's love in your life? Perhaps for some of us, the worry is that the idea is a bit too familiar. We've been used to this idea of God as Father for a very long time. And this is where the Lord's Prayer is very helpful, because it reminds us that God is also the boss. He's our Father, but he's our Father in heaven. Our Father God, who has the power and is in charge. My dad worked in a bank. He started off as a very lowly clerk, and then over the years he worked his way up and he eventually became a branch manager. And on one occasion he was invited to the opening of a new restaurant, and he asked me if I'd like to go with him. And I think he'd helped with the financial package for the business, so he was kind of like a VIP guest. And it was very interesting for me to see my dad kind of in action in his business sphere, because he was talking to other people who had influential roles in the community. He was still my dad, but he was also the bank manager who had the power to help local businesses. And God is our dad, but he's also the creator of the universe to be revered. In Revelation, we get a glimpse into heaven where God dwells. And we read, this is John speaking, "There before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne, and from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder." So God is ruler. He's not to be treated lightly. And as we've said, our traditional English wording, which says, "Hallowed be thy name," means may your name be held holy. May you be revered. So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus invites us to come joyfully and freely into God's presence as his children. But he also invites us to recognize that God is ruler over all. And as we pray this prayer, our desire is that all people would recognize who God is and give him the honor that's due. So when we do as Jesus said, when we go into our rooms and we shut the door and we pray to our Father who is unseen, we don't just kind of slouch in muddy boots, so to speak. We stand up straight, we go in, we recognize who God is, and we want him to be honored. And we wish that everybody would honor him. And that leads us to pray with longing for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I would just say this morning that if you don't want to become the answer to your own prayer, if you don't want to be involved in bringing about God's kingdom, then I suggest that actually you'd stop right there and you back off. And you definitely don't do what Jesus said. So don't go into your room, don't close the door, don't pray to your Father who is unseen. Because if you do, you may find that over time, that love for God and being in his presence affects you, and it affects how you live. It makes you want God to be honored. You want others to know his love. And as you yourself learn to know the Father and honor him, you'll start to bring an extra something into your life, at work, in your family, with your friends, and things might start to change. You might find that God's kingdom starts to come on earth, and you might be very unpopular in the process, but you might also have the joy of seeing lives turned round and God's rule established. You see, prayer is actually quite dangerous, and the Lord's Prayer is dynamite. But what an adventure if we truly pray it. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be held holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen."